I think you were like myself. As we were growing up through public school, there were many classes we kind of questioned, thinking, why am I in this class? In fact, we probably get that a lot from our kids. Why am I going to this class? I don't like it. I have nothing to do with it. But there's also those classes that we truly like. I mean, classes we look forward to. And there was one particular class that I was looking forward to in the ninth grade. It was very exciting, and I couldn't wait to do that. It was a class in which I was able to dissect a frog. I was so excited about that. I could get to a class and just dissect a frog. Now, has anybody ever had the chance to dissect a frog? How, of all the people that did you like doing it?
No.
I loved doing it. Man, I was so excited. So you give a scalpel to a ninth grader, which is scary in itself, okay? And you cut that frog and you open it. The whole thing you're trying to do is you're trying to work gently into it and you're trying to find the heart of that frog. You know, and so we sit there and you pull at that heart and we found it. And you had to be very careful. You had to pull back the right stuff. You didn't have to nick things. But the goal was to find the heart of that frog. Now, I was thinking about doing some demonstration and I thought about, you know, what can I dissect? And I worked at it, and so I have something here I'm going to show you. And I didn't really dissect, but I went into a candy jar, and I found this red piece of candy. But the idea of going down there, exposing, and that's where we get the word exegesis. It's just a fancy word meaning dissecting a frog. We're taking the layers back. We're doing all the right tools, the resources, and we're trying to find the heart of the message. And David and I get very excited when we work very hard, and all teachers, and we find the heart of that message. That is exegesis. On top of that, when we expose that heart and we show the heart to you, that's expository preaching. We're trying to show you that we found the heart, we're explaining it to you so that you know that we're speaking God's word. Why is this important? Because we take it very seriously, David and I, teachers, ruling elders, that we don't want to use God's name in vain. And we know that it's happening out there. And it's very clear in Exodus 27, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Now, not too long ago, I did a sermon series on Galatians. And you know, God was trying in his greatest way through Paul to let us know that he is stinking mad. I will accurse anybody that's going to preach a different gospel. That is very strong to God. It's very strong words to us. And I can't make it stronger because I couldn't use the right words. But God does not like it when we try to shape the gospel in a way that takes away from its truth and try to attach some type of condition to it, and God hates it just as well. God warns us very clearly, teachers, and elders, that when you are speaking God's word, do not use God's name in vain, because there is a punishment. Now, I tremble when I see this, and I truly, in all my life, tried my best to always do that, but we know there are terrible stories out there in which men and women, teachers, have used God's name in vain. And the sad thing is, I think some of us can actually share those stories. I remember being a young Christian. You know, I'm not a church person, never grew up the church. I had very little idea. I was very naive about all the things that are happening in churches, all the different types of churches, the different ways people present Christianity. And I remember very early in my 20s, just in 25, I was going through a series of channels. You know how guys, we picked a channel, and I saw this one channel, and I stopped. And here is this guy with closed eyes, and again, he's sitting there, and he's speaking in tongues, and then he turns, and he prophesies, and he points to you and says, there are people out there that have this cancer, this sickness, and I want you to know that if you give a seed money of $100, God will heal you. I know that sounds crazy, but those types of things have happened, using God's name in vain. How many times have you heard, you know, from preachers, let me pray this special prayer on this cloth, and I anointed with the oil, and I want you to take that cloth, and I want you to put it under your pillow so that you can be healed. Yeah, using that. So there are these type of situations, and especially when it comes to the person of the Holy Spirit. There has been a lot of damage in the last 45 years in people representing the Holy Spirit. And it's a very dangerous thing, and I take it very seriously. And today, I want to be able to explain the Holy Spirit in a way that truly speaks to the heart of God's Word, in a way that you can share that with others. But it's very, very important to know this. Let me go ahead and get this down. So, today we've been going through a series of sermons, which I truly love, is that we're in a process of trying to explain to non-believers the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a lot of us, when we first heard about that, we sit back and it's a daunting task. How do we do this? You know, how do I share the good news of someone in a very simple way? And God gives us a very simple way of doing that. And I've been trying to with David is explain that here is a process, and it's based on the Trinity. The Trinity really explains to us the work of the gospel in our lives. The Trinity, as we know, the purpose of the Trinity is for us to get to know the persons of God very closely and very intimately. That helps us to be able to share the good news with others. And so one of the things that we looked at was the Father who gives us life, who loves, and is longing. Very important for us to understand that. And when we tell someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ, one of the best places to start, obviously, what David talked about last year, is Jesus Christ. People love talking about it. I mean, for a lot of people, when you just speak to them about Jesus, many times I'm looking for opportunities as I develop relationships with non-believers. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, and then I'm in the process of asking that person, well, who do you think Jesus is? And I love how they would get into it, and they'd love to share. I've never had a person who did not want to share their thoughts and their ideas of Jesus Christ. It is a great entry point when it comes to connecting with people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now, how do we explain the whole gospel to a person who is now is wanting to hear about that? One of the first things we talk about is God the Creator. God the Creator. And God the Creator who created us, who gave us life, and that in that life we are people of God, image bearers, but what happened, it's just very clearly, with our free will, we decided that we did not want to be a part of God's family. Easy. God wanted a family. We did not want to be a part of that family, and we're moving away from God every day until the day that we die. And God loves us so much that He rescues us, trying to keep us from that so we can have this right relationship, because God longs for us. Our Father in heaven not only longs for us, but also we long for the Father in heaven, because there is a connection there, the spiritual connection. The part that we heard from last week with Jesus is with us, Jesus is for us, and Jesus redeems us. Jesus, God incarnate, came to us and is with us. He came to be a friend. He became to a brother of Christ. He became God in flesh. Important to let that people know. Then we know that He bled for us. He was for us. He gave up His life for us. He dies for us. He is for us. He wants us to come back to the Father. That's what His mission is. And then He redeems us. When He rose from the dead, He brought us into a right relationship with our Father in heaven. Now we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, again, there have been many terrible situations out there where the Holy Spirit has been misrepresented. And I think some of you are maybe aware of it, but let me share with you some of the things that I have found in the last 30 years that has really caused what I believe is using God's name or misrepresenting God through the Holy Spirit. One of the things that happened is that back in the 30, 40 years ago, there were certain Christians that actually had an article, a piece in their magazine that basically slammed Billy Graham. And Billy Graham, as you know, is this amazing evangelist doing great work in the world. And what they basically said is that Billy Graham could have been a more powerful evangelist if he was baptized with the Spirit. because Billy Graham did not speak in tongues. And this group of people really felt like unless you speak in tongues, you are not baptized. And because Billy Graham was not baptized, he did not have a powerful ministry. It was a terrible essay on Billy Graham. Not only that, there is a couple religious groups that I know personally that you cannot become a pastor or a missionary or evangelist unless you sign off on their document when you're going to be ordained that you have to believe that the evidence of being baptized in the Spirit is speaking in tongues. And I know that very specifically. And that, to me, is using God's name in vain. Okay? There also this idea that that when we worship God, that we confuse God's leading by the Holy Spirit sometimes with our emotions. And we allow our emotions to speak to us, and sometimes what happens, we say that this is God wants me to do, and we find ourselves with our emotions not representing God. So there, obviously there's some situations like that. And we have these three amazing holidays that we celebrate together as a family. The first one is the birth of Jesus Christ. And we got the story of Jesus Christ, the Father bringing Christ into the world in Christmas. Then we have the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is one of the glorious days in our life as a Christian. But the other beautiful gift and the other holiday that we need to celebrate with our whole heart is Pentecost Sunday. Just think about that. God gave us the Holy Spirit. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. He baptizes the Holy Spirit. And we cannot live a Christian life without the Holy Spirit. This is a tremendous event in the history of humanity. And we see this. We see this in the story of Acts. And just to let you know that in John, Jesus was getting with his disciples, and he was trying to explain to them, I'm going to give you, my Father and I are planning to give you this Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Let me share with you what it says. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled my heart. Nevertheless, I'll tell you the truth. Anytime Jesus says, I tell you the truth, very important to listen. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I did not go away, the Helper would not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Now, he's setting them up, Jesus, before his death, his resurrection, that he is going away and he's bringing the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Then we have the beautiful story of the Holy Spirit. And we heard it earlier. What we see is Jesus, which is the part of the Holy Spirit fills us. Very important to know as a part of this opportunity for us to share the good news with other people. So the Holy Spirit fills us. Very important to know because this is the truth. This is God's gift to us. When we were baptized into this world, when we were born into the world spiritually, then God baptizes us with the Spirit at the very moment that we come into this world. So we hear this feeling. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly they came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Very important. This is a heart. This is the exegesis. This is the expository. This is the heart of the Holy Spirit coming into their lives. He fills us. Okay? Because of our new creation, that we are now new creatures, that God fills us with the Holy Spirit, and that we are a whole different person. And it's important to know that because that filling completely transforms us and changes us. Now, at one time, we were the walking zombies, the living dead. Now, God brings life to us through the Holy Spirit, brings us into the kingdom of God, and he baptizes with the Holy Spirit that is with us, that is in us. And so the second part to that is Acts 1:8, and this is what the Holy Spirit does, okay? The Holy Spirit empowers us. Again, the work of the Holy Spirit fills us, he lives with us, he's in us, he fills us, then he empowers us, the work of the Holy Spirit. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So that empower, that power in the Greek means dynamite, dunamis. Matter of fact, it is a word in the Greek that makes it even greater than that. It says it is a miraculous power that comes into your life, that gives you power as a Christian. Now, one of the best ways to understand that is with a battery. Has anybody taken the dare to take a 9-volt battery and stick your tongue to it? Has anybody ever done that? Yeah, yeah, I think all of us. I mean, it actually gives you a jolt. I'm surprised that you raised your hands. But it gives you that jolt. You can know in that little power case, that little case there is power there. The same way, God wants us to know that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that we're like a walking battery. We have God's power in us in order for us to live this life, in order for us to do ministry, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We are to have this power. So already, God has set us up to have this power, the ability to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And what happened because of that, right after that, something wonderfully happened to Peter. He was transformed. We know Peter before the resurrection. We know that he's always been sort of a person who loved Jesus so much, but he just couldn't follow through with it. And he just didn't have a good idea, a good understanding of who Jesus was, is. But after the resurrection, and after he was empowered with the Holy Spirit, suddenly he was transformed in a way that was able to share the good news of Jesus Christ, stand up in front of all these people, and was able to share the wonderful news of Jesus Christ to all these people. He had the boldness. He had the boldness. He had the insight. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's the only third hour of the day, but this is what the uttering through the prophet Joel. So here you have this transformed person, filled with the Holy Spirit, dynamite. Now he's able to stand up and he's able to share the good news. So we need to understand that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that God has empowered us, and God has given us the beautiful way of sharing the good news because of that empowerment. So when we share about the beautiful, beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ, one of the greatest gifts that God gives us after we have been given our life to Christ, that he empowers us to live, he fills us, he empowers us, and then through the work of the Holy Spirit, he constantly transforms us to be the person, the child he wants us to be. So, just in closing, that transformation, anytime I think about the word transformation, I think of the Transformers. You ever seen the movie Transformers? Okay. For some reason, I have to use simple things to kind of help me. But, you know, the Transformers, I love that. It's about a car or a helicopter or a big semi. And through this process of transformation, they become this mighty warrior. In the same way, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the transformation of the Holy Spirit is transforming us to be these wonderful children of God that are able to share the good news with power, with presence, and with confidence. So this is what God gives us as we're in a process of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So, Holy Spirit fills, empowers us, transforms us. We learn that the Father is life. He gives us life. He loves us. And he longs for us. Jesus is with us, for us, redeems us, and the Holy Spirit fills us, empowers, and transforms us. And that we know that through the Trinity, what God very clearly wants us to know, that knowing him is the only way that we can truly share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, as I shared with earlier, that I had an opportunity to be with David and Maggie for the weekend. Now, you never know what's going to happen when you put three people together, whatever. And so we get together, we're driving together, we're living in the same house, and it turned out wonderfully, but we got to know each other through the time that we spent with each other. I got to know Maggie and David in such better ways than I'd ever known before. And God also, in the process of the Holy Spirit, is helping us to know Him better. And every day, through His grace, He invites us into His presence as we know God day by day by day. Then we have this amazing way to be able to share the God, the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit to others. Without knowing God, without knowing the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's very difficult for us to share with others. But that's God's gift to us. Through the Holy Spirit, He provides us with the grace that every day He brings us into His presence. We are knowing God. And when we have an opportunity to talk about Jesus Christ, then we talk about the character of God as in a way that He is your intimate friend, Father, God in heaven. So this is God's good news. And next week we're going to end with the series with go, the word go. And you're going to be receiving bookmarks as well as business cards. And we're going to put just a little explanation of that, of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with just little things in here so that you can sit back and say, wow, when I am sharing the good news with somebody, I need to remember the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that, you have sort of a way of sharing the good news. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank You for, again, the grace that You give us, the beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit, the way that we cannot live life without Your Holy Spirit. We can't do ministry. We can't even share the words of life to others without the Holy Spirit. So we thank You for that. We thank You so much. In Your Son's name, amen.